する。
Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What an interesting collection of scripture presented to us this morning. Our first lesson from Isaiah. This marvelous bit of good news for all those who are laid low or cast out. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame shall leap like deer, and the tongues of the speechless sing for joy. These are the words that Jesus quoted right after his baptism, right after his temptation, when he went to the temple and announced the beginning of his ministry. Some even call them his inaugural address. These are the words Jesus used to announce the beginning of his ministry, to announce the coming of the kingdom of God. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. That was from the prophet Isaiah. Many years before the birth of Christ. This also tells us what the Old Testament is about. Now, I know, and you know, there are a lot of people who quote a lot of different things from the Old Testament. But these words, and words like them, are the heart of the Old Testament as well as the message of Jesus. The prophet Micah talks about do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. God is always lifting up the lowly and the broken. That is the message of the Old Testament as well as the New. Make no mistake. And so today, our second reading was from the letter of James. And James is chastising the church for those times when they favor the rich. James says that's not the way God works. And we know it as well. You think about the Magnificat, Mary's song when she found out she was to birth the Savior of the world. She says, God has lifted up the lowly and sent the rich away empty. God has raised up the humble. And James says, do not dishonor the poor. Have I pointed out before how countercultural the message of Scripture is? Do not dishonor the poor. Do not judge others. James says, you shall not commit adultery. But But Scripture also says you shall not murder. And if you do one or the other, you've sinned. We've all sinned. We all stand in need of the grace and mercy of God. All of us. None of us is worthy to present ourselves at the throne of God. But the good news is that God is slow to anger, abundant in grace and mercy. And so we have this unusual story from our Gospel of Mark. Where Jesus, this is an odd story, okay? Jesus enters this house, and it's the same word that is used for church. And there were house churches back then, but Jesus is kind of sneaking in the back door. He doesn't want anybody to notice him. But Jesus doesn't go anywhere without being noticed. And this woman, she's a Greek. She notices him. And she's heard about what he can do. And she says, "My daughter needs your help." And his response is one of the more unusual responses for Jesus to someone who comes to him in need. He says, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Sounds harsh. And we don't know. Is this a literary construct to create an occasion for grace to happen? Was Jesus testing her to find out what her comeback would be? We don't know. Anybody who says they know doesn't know. That's another thing about Scripture. The more we know, the less we know. But we know about the grace of God. We know before this story, there was a massive feeding. And after this story, there's more feeding. Jesus is always feeding people. That's very much like First Lutheran Church, right? But now we're talking about crumbs. And a thought came to me. It was actually while my husband was eating a piece of leftover pizza. Our dogs think crumbs are the best thing in the world. Have you ever had a rambunctious dog who has been fed table scraps? I don't know where Aries get the idea that, you know, table scraps are for dogs, but somehow, when somebody's eating food and they're not at a table, that person is the most exciting person in the world. Do you have dogs? Do you know what I'm talking about? And so Vince is eating this piece of pizza. And there's two dogs sitting at his feet, so he's eating it slower and slower just to see what the dogs are doing. And the dogs are drooling now, and they're getting closer to him, and they're just waiting because they know what he's going to do. The last inch of the crust, he'll break it in half and he'll throw it in two directions. And the dogs will catch that piece of crust mid-air. Because that's like the greatest thing in the world. Let's go back to the Syrophoenician woman. What has she heard about Jesus? She knows. She knows that if she brings her daughter's needs to Jesus, She doesn't need all his power. She doesn't need the whole kingdom of God to open up around her. She doesn't need a feast. She knows from what she's seen or what she's heard that all she needs from Jesus is a little bite. Just a little corner of his power. Like the hemorrhaging woman who went and just knew that if she touched the hem of his robe, she'd be healed. She wouldn't even have to bother him. She'd be healed. And so it was with this woman. I'll take the crumbs. And Jesus' response was, "You get me. And your daughter, by the way, is already healed." It is a power of intercession for certain. And this is why our prayer ministries matter. It's not a telephone chain. It's not an internet chain. It's because we know we are tapping into the only power, ultimately, that's going to matter. Because God doesn't show partiality. And God hears our prayers. And even when we come to communion, it's just a little bit of bread. It's just a little bit of wine. But we believe that in that little bit of bread and little bit of wine, Jesus is. And we are fed. The power of Jesus is real. And the power of Jesus' love is universal. You know, he's showing it in all of his teaching, in all of his actions. Most preachers don't even get to the next story that's bundled together with this Syrophoenician woman's faith. But it's another intercession. There's two men. Actually, it's a they. We don't know if it's two or if it's many. They brought the man who was deaf and had a speech impediment to Jesus. Again, that intercession. You can bring people to Jesus. And it's a powerful thing to do. The man did not take himself to Jesus. Other people brought. But it's a goofy story, okay? Have you read it? It's very earthy. Jesus wasn't standoffish. There was nothing clean, nothing sanitary about the way Jesus did ministry. And he got accused of not letting having his disciples wash their hands properly, but this story, okay? He sticks his fingers in the guy's ears. He spits. Scripture does not tell us where he spits. And then he touches the man's tongue. And I've always wondered, are his fingers still in his ears when he touches the man's tongue? We don't know. But we know that with a word, Ephatha, be opened. Be opened. The man's life was changed forever. His ears were open, his mouth was open, and he immediately began to declare the praise of God. In these earthy stories of healing, Jesus says, it doesn't matter if you came from the best family or the worst family. It doesn't matter if you are labor or you are management. It doesn't matter if you are poor or rich, if you are Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter if you are the oldest member of the church or the newest baptized. Jesus names the outsider and says, your faith has made your daughter well. Sometimes I wish, a lot of times, I wish we could embrace diversity a little bit more. And I think it is harder in smaller communities. The other day, my daughter called me. And she said, my friend Abdi, his family is having me over. And they're cooking Middle Eastern. And I need a wine that I can bring as a gift. And she's asking me for choices on wines to bring to a Middle Eastern family as a house, or as a, you know, dinner gift. And the first thing I thought was, Abdi, does his family even drink? And her response was, no, Mom, Abdi is my Catholic Iraqi friend. His family's from Iraq. You're thinking of Jando, who is my Muslim friend from Somalia. And I thought, yeah, that's how Jesus operates. God didn't draw national boundary lines when God made the earth. And Jesus points that out in ways that would have been really radical when he preached, and when he taught, and when he healed. There is no distinction. Be open, because Jesus has opened himself to us. And may the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.